Welcome to the Nonprofit Growth Show, presented by Nonprofit Megaphone, the podcast where we highlight nonprofit leaders in the trenches who share the strategies and tactics they use to grow their organizations and make a difference each day. As we like to say, if you want to be discouraged by a general sense of decay, read the news. But if you want to be inspired by concrete stories of growth, talk to a nonprofit. Here's to the modern day superheroes, the nonprofit leaders. Let's dive in.
Hey, everyone. I'm here with Stephen Green. He's the Director of Development at Knowledge Quest. Stephen, thanks so much for being here with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Likewise. And as is our tradition, I would love to jump right in with a story, which could be from any point in your development career. Is there a moment that was dramatic or exciting or suspenseful that you could share with us?
Wow. Yeah. So for me, the most dramatic thing was, so I used to work in college athletics, and in college athletics, you have, which all jobs, you have tough decisions, but a lot of people take decisions to heart. So one decision that I was a part of was taking away some premium parking from individuals that were given it through a third party. And this idea, like people, you know, they put me on the news, they were calling, they were fussing me out. I never knew parking was that important. But for us, in the grand scheme of things, we were losing out on donation dollars coming in by not having those individuals a part of our annual fund. So it was a lot of heat on the front end, but now I'll say it's a well-oiled machine and no one has a problem. But it was very stressful because, hey, I've never been put on the news for changing something. I've never had people really call and fuss and cuss me out. So it was pretty interesting.
Wild. That is wild. So what was the news? The news was like, how is that newsworthy? That's so fascinating that someone got it up there.
Yeah. So there was this guy that he felt the news should hear about it. So I'd written a letter stating that we're going to allow them to keep their parking for, I think it was at the time, about 2 more years. And then they would come under our umbrella. And this guy felt like you were taking away his child or something, like just his life was about to end. And it was just, it was crazy. He called the news. The news called me. And of course, you know, I sent them to our communications department and it just ended from that. But I literally on the news, the first time I've been on the news, Stephen Green, director of crazy, but I made it through. So it was a learning.
That's crazy. I love it. Thanks for sharing that. And I'd love to hear some about your background. You've worked in a variety of organizations. You have a lot of really cool experiences. Tell us the story of how you got where you are today.
Yeah. So my journey started in 2010, I moved to Memphis to go to grad school and work in college athletics. I was a Division II college athlete at the highest level, highest level of government. So I was a student athlete ambassador, and I was going to be an educator because my mother was a teacher, was a math teacher, middle school math teacher, and I was going to go into education. But I love college athletics, so that changed. Came to the University of Memphis for free grad school, and I was in compliance at the time, and a friend of mine was in development, and he approached me. We would work out together. And he said, "Hey, man, you're fit for development. You're not a compliance guy." So from that, I finished my grad degree and got an internship in the development office at the University of Memphis Tiger Scholarship Fund, and I worked my way up. So I went from an intern to assistant director to associate director. And before I left, I was a director of Tiger Scholarship Fund. I was raising major gifts, doing planned giving. I was controlling all premium parking for football and basketball. I was selling suites for football. And then I was given the opportunity to go to the University of South Carolina to be a major gift officer. I was more so just focused on major gifts, which is estate planning and cash gifts and endowments. and I was a regional officer there. So I was in the upstate of South Carolina, and then I had, was it Augusta, North Augusta, down there. So yeah, I've been a little bit everywhere. Now college athletics was where I laid my head for the last 9 years, but now I'm at Knowledge Quest here trying to help them raise funds and keep the lights on.
Absolutely. Such a cool list of experiences. And then I'd love to learn more about Knowledge Quest. Could you share a little bit about that organization? Maybe if there are stories that you've heard in your time there of the impact that's being made and some of the good stuff that's happening.
Yeah, so Knowledge Quest, we founded in 1998 by our CEO, executive director, Marlon Foster. He's from the community and had seen so many bad things happen in the community and wanted to provide opportunity for youth. Because what they had found is that between the hours of 3 and 6, those are the times of the day that young minds have access to things that will get them in trouble. So from 1998, it was an after school program. But then over those, 15 years, it was the children's families are not stable. So, you know, we get these kids, they come in and receive different programming and whatnot, but the families are not stable. So we branched out into a more family holistic approach to raise up the families and to raise up the children at the same time. So that we have a family stability initiative. Our after school program is called the Extended Learning Academy, which is our foundation. And then we built off of that to go to social work. So we do full on social work, trying to, you know, help people give tools to get out of poverty. That is our two main things, helping kids read because childhood literacy is so bad around the nation, but especially in the city of Memphis. And then with social work, helping families move the needle. And that's what we've been able to do so far. We saw another need for us, which was we're in a food desert. So they closed down our local grocery store, and we had an organic garden. But once they closed down that grocery store, we figured out, we need to meet a greater need. So we started a USDA certified organic farm right in the heart of South Memphis, and that produces the highest nutrient fruits and veggies right here in South Memphis, where we have people that have high diabetes rates, hypertension, high blood pressure. So we're trying to meet a need there, and we've been able to do some great things. And lastly, we offer free counseling for our parents. So a big thing is ACE awareness. So that's adverse childhood experiences. And we're trying to provide resources to parents that have experienced ACEs so they don't pass it on to their kids. Because there's so many different things that some of these parents have been through. But we're here to provide them the tools to parent. You know, parenting is hard. So we're here to help. So, yeah.
Such a cool set of programs. That is incredible. And it's cool to hear about how the expansion of the organization has been driven by the different needs. Grocery store closes down, you know, organization responds by creating an organic farm. That's incredible. Are there tactics that you have found or strategies that you've found to be particularly helpful in your fundraising work that you think other people might be able to benefit from as well?
Yeah, the one thing I learned was a big thing was follow up. When I was at the University of Memphis, I'll be honest that I was not the best at following up. You know, if I'm going to set a meeting with a person and they say, hey, Stephen, this is not a good month. You know, it may be bad depending on the market or just different things going on in their lives. And I would just let it go by. And I missed out on a lot of opportunities because of that. So my goal at the University of South Carolina was to be efficient as far as follow-up. And by that, by me being so persistent, I was able to get more meetings to ask for more money and to bring in funds. Because that's the one thing, you know, we all get busy in the fundraising world, but if we do not put follow-ups on our calendar or reminders, whatever works best for you, we will miss opportunities because these business people that we want to get in front of, we love it that they're busy, because for some people, if they're busy, they're making money. So we need to have reminders. And sometimes it's not that, hey, I've forgotten about you. It's that I'm so busy, my mind's not focused on you. So that would be the one thing that I really focus on is follow up.
Great call out. Are there systems that have been helpful for you, like putting it in the calendar or sticky notes? Is there a formula that's helped you with that?
Yeah, calendar. Because sticky notes, I'll lose them. Calendar is the best thing.
Me too.
as soon as I get off the phone or if they send an email back, I will put it right exactly on my calendar. Because I won't forget, you know, with that, I won't forget about it unless my calendar crashes. As of right now, that has never happened, but yeah, calendar's best.
Brilliant. Really cool. And then for you guys at Knowledge Quest, where do most new donors learn about your work? Are they coming to your website? Are they seeing you at work in the community? Are they hearing about it through a friend? How does that usually pan out?
It's a little bit all of it. For us right now, it's a good time that we're in the local media a lot. So that has helped us. That's bringing a lot of awareness to us. So we have a deal coming up with Whole Foods. You know, we're their community partner for their 5% Give Back Day. So a lot of people have found out about us by things like that. And we want to continue to have those in the media and having newspapers or news stations do stories about us. And of course, social media is a big thing for us, using catchwords, how to draw attention. But that is all how we get the most attention.
Brilliant. Really, really smart. We can now jump into one of the incredibly fun parts of this discussion, which is the mock debate, which historically I almost always lose, but it's fun for the guest. And the topic that we've chosen for today is, what is a bigger opportunity, grants or individual donors? Stephen, do you have a side of that that you want to take?
I love individual donors.
I love it. Okay, perfect. So why don't you make an opening statement on the value of pursuing individual donors, and then I'll try and counter argue in favor of grants.
So I am strongly in favor of individual donors, because individual donors, you can always move the needle. With grants, you come to a stopping point, or it may be a point that the funding runs out. But I feel if I build a great enough relationship with the donor, that relationship will not run out.
I love it. Okay. Let me see what I can come up with. My name is Grant, so you would hope I could develop a decent defense of grants. But I would say, wouldn't you agree that grants or funding from foundations provide, especially if it's a larger foundation, provide a more scalable method of fundraising, in that it lets you maintain relationships with maybe only a few really important foundations, as opposed to hundreds or thousands of donors. And as you're able to sort of prove the success of the programs you're running, that you can then take that and use it to win more grants, to win bigger grants, and sort of scale up the impact maybe without needing as large of a team in marketing or development to make that happen. Anything you'd say to rebut that?
Yeah. So for me, I've seen that I've been able to move, like, and of course, I am so biased because I love relationships, and that
sure.
And you can have great relationships with foundations, but with people, I'm good with people. And if I can start a person off at a $25,000 gift and move them up to, in the next 3 to 5 years, a $50,000, then continue to move them up. And then I go to them for ask of a planned gift. And then I just continue moving the needle. I love that, because, you know, in development, you can't always go back to the grant funder as fast as you want. But the individual, let's say if we had a need, we need $5,000. And I know that donor that I have a great relationship with has the money, even though they just gave me a $25,000 gift, I can go back to that funder and I feel very confident that they will give me that $5,000 to help us meet our need.
I love it. I love it. No, that's great. That is a very compelling argument. Yeah, because there's a lot more flexibility there, to your point, as needs arise. It doesn't necessarily have to lock into some grant timeline. Beautiful. Well, thank you. We'll give you the win on that one. We can jump into some rapid fire questions. Stephen, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would you say and why?
Thoughtful.
I love it. And the pause there was perfect. Why thoughtful?
Because I want to live in the moment. And when I do something for someone, I am going to think about it. Like I'm big on details and listening because I want to be genuine. I don't want to be fake. So I'm very thoughtful when I do something for someone.
Beautifully put. Is there an exciting shift that you're seeing taking place in the nonprofit world today that you think is really positive?
I'll say yes. Slowly but surely, younger generations are getting involved in nonprofit giving. I know it's not the giving of the past, how it was give to maybe United Way or some other organization that individuals are volunteering and giving. So it's not just, hey, I'm going to give you my funds, but it's, I want to get involved. And that's exciting because to have the help and then also to have the funds, that helps out with fundraising and budgetary issues as far as employment and coverage. So that's exciting. I know some people are not happy about how it's changing as far as giving to one area or, you know, as they say, millennials are asking questions. It's, you know, I see his questions. Hey, I want to get involved. I want to know. So for me, that's exciting.
That's a great perspective. Have there been people or other organizations that have been really helpful to you throughout your fundraising career that you kind of want to give a shout out to?
Yeah. One of my former bosses, who is a great fundraiser, Dr. Adam Walker at the University of Memphis, he is over the development shot there. He is by far one of the greatest fundraisers I've been around as far as individuals, as far as grant writing. He is, you know, one of the best that I've been around. Also, my current boss, Marlon Foster here at KnowledgeQuest, he's taught me so much as far as grant writing because, you know, I never had to write grants, but now here at KnowledgeQuest, I am charged to write grants, and Marlon has done it for 21 years of writing grants and writing compelling stories to keep funds here at KnowledgeQuest.
Brilliant. And then is there something that you understand now that you didn't appreciate as much, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
I would say mentorship. That is, you know, I came into the business of, hey, I can do this on my own. And it was that I have all the answers. I know how to do this. I don't need anyone. But I made so many mistakes. Like my first development meeting with the donor one-on-one, it was terrible. I'll tell you, it was terrible. I was sweating. I was saying some stupid things, and it was just like if I would have sat down and had someone to talk me through it, to really, you know, check my ego at the door, it would have been different, you know, because, man, it's just, you know, you always have those jitters going to the first meeting when you're in a new organization. But to have that mentor there coaching you, say, hey, it's okay. Here you go. You need to hit on these points. You need to hit on these points. And that has propelled me into going into meetings and winning them. So, yeah, that's what mentorship by far would help because, you know, I was young and I'm a great person to be around as far as building relationships, but I didn't know the development aspect of it.
That's a great insight. Stephen, thank you so much for spending time with us. I know that this is sort of a crazy time for you guys. So I really appreciate you carving out availability in your schedule. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you, or where should they look if they want to learn more about Knowledge Quest?
Yeah, for myself, I am on LinkedIn. So I am Stephen M. Green on LinkedIn. Also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is IM_StephenG. Knowledge Quest, you can find us at knowledgequest.org. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you want to figure out or find us out there to see what we're up to throughout the year.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Growth Show, presented by Nonprofit Megaphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or giving us a rating or review on your favorite podcast network. We appreciate your support. Until next time.